Once again, be welcome. Brother Schmidt asks whether I would like to take off this jacket. We are very grateful to God with all our hearts that we still come together in freedom and liberty to hear God's word. We are grateful that you can still pay for the journeys. If I remember, if I think about from all the neighboring countries, from Poland, from the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Romania, Austria, Italy, Switzerland, France, Belgium, Holland, from everywhere we are gathered here to hear God's word. The most farthest distance was Romania, about 1,600 kilometers. And if you then think about that God wanted to send a hunger to hear his word, and that he has taken care for that we have his wonderful revealed word, we can pass it on, freshly revealed from his throne. It's only grace and again grace. Today, I also would like to ask who is here today for the first time. Please raise your hands. Do we have some? Precious sister, please stand up. Be welcome. God bless you. And with this I connect. Yes, be welcome. God bless you. Be welcome. Welcome. God bless you. With this, I connect the question whether our brothers and sisters in the Spanish language, whether they have practiced this psalm, whether they can sing it. Is this like this? Pardon? Not yet. Not yet possible. Okay. Psalm 23, I desired to hear it in the Spanish language. Something very special. Not only the melody, also the text. Our two sisters will sing. We got a lot of information around the world, especially concerning the Pope, concerning the USA, concerning Israel, concerning Iran. Yes, one could continue with all the special news from all over the world, and in particular from this area, which is of biblical significance. That's what's all about for us. And if I just can mention something here. 1947, when Israel was not yet declared as a state, the Iran at that time under the Shah, as the first nation of all the nations of the earth, he wished them God's blessings. And it was really the Shah who sent to the people of Israel 1 million of a certain fruit of a palm tree, this dattel fruit. All of them, they are coming from the Iran. At that time, from the Shah, a friend of Israel, from the first to his last day. Already, Israel said, 1947, the resolution of the UNO that Israel should have his own land, will have his own land. And then, of course, immediately came the wishes of blessings. And what came 1979? when the man from Paris came to Tehran, just a change to the utmost, a change. And today, the same Iran is the greatest enemy of Israel and speaks it out openly and says, only if Israel does not exist anymore, then the peace comes onto the earth. One can see how everything has changed. Then I have here, actually, I said it already last Sunday in Zurich. I wanted to translate the last sermon of Brother Branham, which he preached in Zurich. There was too much echo in this recording. And then Brother Keller, he gave me some newspaper articles about the meetings of Brother Branham. And he says, religious mass meetings in Zurich. What really touched me was, right under the main headline comes then the question, what do the churches say to it? And then comes the next headline, the Reformed standpoint. See, the standpoint of the Reformed Church. And then it says, the Catholic standpoint. And then comes one standpoint after the other. I would have been happy if there would be a headline, the biblical standpoint. The biblical standpoint, not what do the religions say. What did the scribes and Pharisees say about the ministry of our Lord? It's not important at all how people are judging something, but what God is doing right now by His grace. And we're just so grateful that we are having part in that, what the Lord has prepared and promised for our time. And the word of the Lord is running. Just before that, is Brother Idoni here? Brother Idoni is here. A brother who travels into various countries. He gave me just now an invitation to Cuba. I was there 16 years ago. And behold, God has opened again new doors. He has opened hearts so that by God's help, already for this year, we can plan a journey there. Then I may not forget, before we come into our word observation, perhaps you have the impression that we have overlooked Brother Schmidt. We didn't overlook him. We have special greetings from all over the world addressed to you, Brother Schmidt. All, of course, have heard that Sister Schmidt, she went home. We have given her the last honor, and this news came to all the earth, and everything was said by the world. Please send our regards to Brother Schmidt in particular and wish him God's blessing, God's strength and God's help. And then came also the wishes of blessing to Brother and Sister Rus, also from many. We have greetings which I didn't mention yet. In any case, from the high north of Europe up to the east of Africa and to the west, to South America and wherever it might be. Yes, up to Siberia. Just now from Brother Schmidt we heard it. God is faithful and he's calling out his people. May it please the Lord today to bless us in a special way, that really nobody, but really no one, goes out here unblessed. That all get the desire of their hearts satisfied. Now, if the sisters would like to sing, or at the end, whatever your song is, whether it fits now or later on, at this place, we just have the liberty. We don't have to decide anything like a dictator. We can leave everything up to the Spirit of the Lord, however He leads and however He guides. Also by the singing, let us go with it on our inside. Let us just partake in it.
Jesu, mein Herz zu dir nimm, errette mich ganz von dem eigenen Sinn, so dass es wird Himmel auf Erden schon hier, zu teilen die Schmerzen und Freuden mit dir. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft, Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Dring tief in mein Herz, Herr, ich flehe zu dir und sende von oben die Kraft auf zu mir. Das ernster und tiefer ich beugen mich kann, mich opfern und leben für dich, Gottes Lamm. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Ich will nicht mehr bitten um Krone und Reich. Ich flehe, mein Jesus, oh, mach mich dir gleich. Das Leiden, ich kann hier, mein Jesus, für dich. Du bist ja vom Tod auferstanden für mich. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Ich sehne mich sehr nach dem ewigen Glück. Möchte nicht etwas mich halten zurück, denn schön ist die Hoffnung des Himmels für mich. Ich weiß ja, mein Jesus, ich finde dort dich. dich. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Und am Ende werden wir dann
and at the end, we will then exchange the cross with a crown. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. For me, this is a very special day. We time and again went through the biblical subjects, and tonight we once again will speak about a special subject of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. And just from the biblical point of view, everything else we are really not interested in. And thank you, Brother Gilbert. We of course had a wonderful meeting in Paris, and for the first time we freely and openly spoke about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we just emphasized, as it is written there, that's how it will happen, and in no other way.
Here,
I printed out all the places from the Holy Scripture which use the same word, arrival, also in connection with persons. 24 times in the New Testament, the same word, parousia, was used for persons from Matthew 8:33 up to 2 Timothy 1:17. Just if some person came unto to some place, then this was the arrival. Then this was the coming. For instance, Acts 13, verse 5, it says, and they preached the word when they arrived at Salamis. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And this just continues page after page. Acts 28, verse 16, after our arrival in Rome, the same word, arrival, parousia. And then 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5, after our arrival in Macedonia, time and again, the same word, arrival, and it always meant if somebody came there personally. And here we had the wonderful experience. Just recently, I spoke about it. Brother Frangos, a man who was born in Greece, he was sitting with us in this building, and a Greek word should be known to a Greek person in particular. And in this brother conference, I was just asking Brother Frangos, you are a Greek. Greece is your language. Tell us what means Perugia. And behold, he stood up. He went to this door. He closed the door behind him. And all of us, we were sitting there, and we were watching what is happening now. And then the door was again opening, and he came in, and he said, this is the meaning of the word Perugia, personal coming. This was more than a lesson to us. So, 24 times the same word is written in the New Testament as it is used for the coming of our Lord. 16 times, beginning from Matthew 24, verse 3, through all the scriptures, through up to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Everywhere the word coming, arrival, the same word is written there 16 times in reference to the return of our beloved Lord and Savior. Just briefly, we are coming to this several scriptures. To us, at this place, perhaps in Europe, it's not so important as it is in the whole world, because there the teaching goes around that the Lord has come already, and what kind of things are being said. Please, let us keep in mind three things, and in our hearts, from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And here, we have, in the first three verses, three things which are being said. John 14, from 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. This is the first point. I go to prepare a place for you. The second point, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is the promise. I will come again. And then thirdly, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So, not a promise that the Lord someday will come to us on this earth and then has a certain phase, will spend a certain time here. No, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So, with the return of our Lord, is our taking away into glory connected. This is God's holy word, and by this it remains. We have the most wonderful statements in reference to the return of our Lord. And just a few of them we will look at, and we will deepen ourselves into it. But before we do that, I would like to come to the main point. And this is written in 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Namely, here it is about, before in verse 16, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16, before it is being said there, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. What went on before that? What happened before that? What did Peter write in the by the commission of God before that? This we read from verse 3 in 2 Peter in chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't make sense to speak about the return of Jesus Christ without to speak about what is need of, that we are part of it when the Lord returns. That's what's all about. Not so. Not only by knowledge, but out of the experience that we, by the grace of God, can make. The experiences we have to make. From verse 3, 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And then comes the listing. What the inner man needs of the inner building up, how the one has to be added to the other, so that we are partaking of the divine nature. Everything is being listed here, up to the brotherly love and to the general love. And then in verse 8 it is being said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If that, what we read from verse 3 up to verse 7, if that has become a divine reality in us, if all these virtues are becoming reality by the grace of God and manifested in us, then we are neither short-sighted nor barren. And then it says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And then verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Let us just be honest now. What good is it? What good is it for the people if they say, The Lord has come already. The Holy Scripture tells it to us clearly. If they say he's in the desert, don't believe it. If they say he's in the chambers, don't believe it. Because as the lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, that's how it will be with the coming of the Lord. Here, we had 2 days with thunder and lightning. And as the news have said it, more than 1,000 lightnings in 2 thunderstorms, more than 1,000 lightnings. One didn't know anymore where it ends and where it stops and it starts. One lightning after the other. But every lightning came and was gone, came and was gone. So, if it is written that the return of Jesus Christ will be like this, as the lightning which shines from the east and shines to the west, and then we have to believe it. Let me read from the Holy Scripture, namely from the Gospel of Luke. And this is the most misunderstood scripture or misinterpreted place. And I would like that especially the ministering brethren are taking heed to the singular and plural if we read these verses. Luke chapter 17. Brother Branham, he was referring to this text many, many times he referred to it. And we were counting it. Don't be shocked now. But the divine message which Brother Branham, by the commission of God, has brought, was so precious to him that he used the word more than 4,000 times in his sermons. More than 4,000 times the word message came over the lips of Brother Branham. And why? Because he was told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. And it still foreruns the second coming of Christ and is reaching the ends of the earth. We wish all who are now listening and who are watching up to Chile and wherever our brothers and sisters might be, let us here read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, from verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Singular. In his day. Verse 26. And as it was in the days, plural, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days, plural, in the days of the Son of Man. The days of Noah were a period of time, and these days of the Son of Man are a period of time, but that day of the Son of Man, and we just read on now. Let us read verse 26 once again. And as it was in the days, a period of time, years of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day, singular, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Firstly, days, and then the day in which it really happened. Let us read on. Verse 28. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, a period of time, days, in the days of Lot. Then they did eat, they drank, they bought and they sold, they planted and they built. But the same day, singular, but on that day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And now it comes. In the singular, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Days, period of time, the day, namely that day. That's how it is written. And brothers and sisters, if we are deepen ourselves into the Word, and if we see the connections, then our hearts are rejoicing and jubilating. I'm asking myself, where is the respect with the brothers who go beyond the Word of God and they say what they like? They lost the reverence before God and His Word. And as we will just see now, but let us also read now from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, to show us immediately the difference. Matthew 24, it's also written in verse 27. Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28. I don't want to go into detail here, because it was so misinterpreted so much. Here it's written, and you all know, the Lord always used examples from nature to show something supernatural, which can be comprehended by all people. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. And then came the interpretation, the carcass is the revealed word, and the eagles, these are the believers. No, not so. The revealed word is alive. Hebrews 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick. A natural example. You can also see it. I told it to you before, from my journey in North India, in Punjab. At that time, I was traveling far distances by car, and then it happened. It happened when the sun was about to rise, and really, such a flock, whether it was buzzards or eagles or I don't know what it was, they came down, and I was thinking, what is happening here? And when I came to this point, there somebody drove over an animal, and all these eagles, it just wanted to say that there will be a gathering, that the people of God will be called together when the Lord comes down as a lightning, and we in a moment will be changed. I don't need any interpretation of the word. I just need to know the Lord used natural examples. But now comes something very important. What has to be, it has, pay attention. We tell it to all the brothers who preach the word. Then in verse 29 comes something about the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Here we have two things. The first thing, the coming of the Son of Man and our taking away. And then the great tribulation. The great tribulation. And then the revelation of the Son of Man to his people Israel. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When the Lord returns to take his bride home, then nobody will mourn. All will continue. Two will be on one bed, one be taken, the other one be left. Two on the field, two on the mill. But we see, here we see the connection. On one hand, the return of our beloved Lord to take us home, as he promised, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And then comes the great tribulation. After the rapture comes the great tribulation. And then the moon will be darkened, shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the sun be darkened. This doesn't happen before the rapture. This happens after the rapture. And it's already the introduction into the day of the Lord, which of course is described in the Old and in the New Testament. And then comes verse 32 of the learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender. We all know, of course, the Word of God. And so we see from the Holy Scripture how everything was placed into order, but it has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit into the connection. In the connection in which it belongs. Let us come back to the word from Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, the admonition to all of us, which is in connection with the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was addressed to us. Here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, we could read on up to verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Then comes verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And what comes in chapter 2 from verse 1? What do we read there? Let us continue. 2 Peter, chapter 2, from verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Here, where the connection is the return of Jesus Christ, where we are told that the word of prophecy is of no private interpretation. Here, the apostle continues and writes, also among you there shall be false teachers who secretly shall bring in damnable heresies. I tell it to you honestly, at this place, nobody would continue to preach who would say, the Lord has come already in 1963. That's impossible. All these things are introduced secretly, and then disciples are made to follow them. Then it continues in verse 2, and many shall follow their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's how we have it. Through all the interpretations, the precious message which God has entrusted to us is being evil spoken of. It's being questioned. But let me say it confidently. The truth will have the victory. The word of God remains, and God has the last word. And every interpretation is condemned to fail. God is only in His word, and in no interpretation. Now, the text which you also read in Paris. Because there is a statement of Brother Branham which can be so misunderstood if one doesn't take it back into the Holy Scripture. Brother Branham, he said something like that. The message is the shout. But what the brothers missed is to continue to read, namely to see that Brother Branham, immediately he went to Matthew 25 and he said, this is the time, trim your lamps, fill them with oil, for the coming of the Lord is near. Let us read reverently before the Almighty God these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In Paris I asked all to stand up for it. May I do it? Let us do it. Let us stand up for it. To read reverently what is written here in reference to the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, promised, I go to prepare a place for you, promised, I come again, promised, I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, ye may be also. Let us read from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, from verse 13. And I'm asking you to pay attention whether somewhere is written a period of time, or could be placed a period of time which shall be a last call to the living, or whether it is speaking of those who are alive. Let us read reverently. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Not about the wise and foolish virgins. No. Concerning them which are asleep. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. What is it about here? About those who died in Christ. If so, say Amen. Let us read verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Do we believe it?
Amen.
All who died in Christ, he will bring with him. And they will rise first. Let us read on. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. The same we do today. The same word of the Lord. We who we are alive, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. We who we are alive will precede them not which are asleep. Then, verse 16, for the Lord himself, not a message, not a shout, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And the shout is addressed to the dead, not to those who are alive. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. This was not loud enough. Amen. Verse 17, then, when this has happened, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You may be seated. So, it doesn't speak of a message or of a messenger which shall be carried into all the world. But it speaks of the return of the Lord and of that what will happen when he will come again. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. To this we could actually, I wrote down all the scriptures which belong to this subject. Listen, Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, what is written there. Philippians 3, verse 20. Here we have verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. This happens in the moment when our Lord comes again, and we will experience the translation by his grace. May all hear it. All over the world. Acts 3, verse 21. We read just these places which belong to it, so that all know that the Holy Scripture teaches it like this and has left it unto us like this. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Of our Lord and Savior, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And here we read verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11.
Und wenn der Geist dessen,
but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Here we have, brothers and sisters, here we have a very important point. The fullness of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is not only necessary to carry out the ministry. The power of the Holy Spirit is necessary so that these mortal bodies are quickened, yes, can be translated, changed. We all know. Our Lord said it, of course. Remain in Jerusalem until ye are endued with the power from on high. And this happened, of course. Thanks be to God. This has taken place. But then we read of the translation. If the Spirit of God, if he really took dwelling in us, not only an experience, not only an anointing, but took, if he has taken dwelling. Also about this, Brother Branham spoke wonderfully about it, about the anointed at the end times. One can be anointed with the Holy Spirit, but has the Holy Spirit took dwelling in us? Are we being led by the Holy Spirit? Can the Holy Spirit lead us into all the truth? That's what's all about. Not only an anointing, but dwelling in us. And that's what it's all about. And brothers and sisters, I believe that only the Spirit of God in you and in me can bring about the connection to God and to the Word of God. No man can do it. It has to take place by the Holy Spirit, by His grace. Then we have 1 Corinthians 15. This is, of course, the most powerful chapter about the return of the Lord. And here, the three periods are shown to us right after the other, one after the other. 1 Corinthians 15, let us start with verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that have died. He is not only the firstborn among many brethren, he is the first fruit who came forth from the dead, who has took away the power from death, who conquered Satan, and who rose on the third day. Then, in verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Here our beloved Lord is shown to us as man who died for mankind. He had to take on himself our body, real blood into his body, to shed it for us, for our atonement, so that we can find reconciliation with God and can receive eternal life from God in us. He could not come as an angel. He couldn't come in immortality. He had to come into a mortal body to make an end to mortality and to give us immortality by his grace. Now, we are coming to the subject. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And now comes the distinction. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. First Christ, then those who shall be changed and who will be changed. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. I say this with pain, that in all the other languages the word return is missing. It's only translated as coming, be it in English, be it in all the world languages. When it speaks of the return, it doesn't say their return, only about the coming. We really have the great privilege that the reformer in our country was in our country, Martin Luther, and that he had the grace before God to be precise in the translation, to say of what it is all about. Here, namely, is the difference. There's also the coming of the Lord, when he, as the Son of Man, will come and all the nations will be gathered before him. There is his coming when he will smite the Antichrist. There is his coming when everything will burn up in flames. There is his coming when he will come down with his feet upon the Mount of Olives. But here it is about the return which he promised. I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again. I come again. Not only coming, but I come again to receive you unto myself. In English it says, come again. But this is only written in John 14. And then, not a single time it's written like this anymore. Only coming, coming. Actually, it should say, come again. Come again. Therefore, we have to sometimes in all the other languages, we have to help our brothers. In verse 24 it says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, destroyed all rule and first Christ, and then all who are his at his return, and then the end. And it is described precisely in verse 25, for he must reign as king till he has put all enemies under his feet. Here we have already the millennium when our Lord will reign as king on the earth. Then comes the last enemy, verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And then we have the perfection in verse 27. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted who did put all things under him. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Here we have the ending of time and the breaking forth of eternity. When everything is finished, then it will not be spoken anymore of Father and Son. In all of the Old Testament, not. More than 6,000 times it says only Lord God. And then the plan of salvation of our God is ended. Then we as sons and daughters of God are perfected in the presence of the Lord. And when he has reigned as king, then all enemies will be put under his footstool. And then comes the end. And then God will be all in all. Then everything was worth it. The plan of redemption took its completion by his grace. I'm so astonished how clear God's word was left unto us. We can look into the Holy Scripture and we can see the details, and the grace which God has given us is that we, by the Holy Spirit, we truly are being led into all the truth. Why? We have no own teaching. We have no own imagination. We can believe as the Holy Scripture says it. Let us come once again to the main thing back. Although we would know all the mysteries, although we could put forth all things nicely, and we would not have the love of God in us, the love of God in us will lead to the perfection, the love of God. Paul writes, and if I would speak with tongues of angels, if I would know all the mysteries, if I could place everything, if I would have all the clarity, all the overview as it never was before. One phone call today was like this. One phone call, Brother Frank, to you was given the greatest responsibility in this time, to bring the true word of God. And I said, the responsibility God has taken this responsibility for it, and he is watching over his word, and he's watching over us who we have to preach his word. And we are grateful to the Lord that we have the access, that we got the access to his word by his grace. The main thing is our preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to take you unto myself. Here it is about the mansions in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. There it's not about that the Lord will sit upon the throne. Where is it written? Matthew 25. Yeah, you can read it. Perhaps it's still written in verse 31, where the Lord will sit unto the throne of his glory. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. A completely different coming, in a completely different connection. He doesn't speak of rapture, not about translation, not about the saints who are dead or who are alive, but of the Lord, who then will come again in glory to sit upon the throne of his glory. How nicely it's written in Revelation chapter 3. He that overcometh, he will sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and sat down upon the throne of my Father. In heaven, there is the throne of the Father. Here he sits as judge upon his throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. Brothers and sisters, the word of God doesn't matter whether we read in the Gospels or in the Epistles. It's so clear. If it is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit in the certain connections. Once again, back to 2 Peter chapter 1. That God might give us the grace that we really are being built up on our inside. That these virtues, as written here, as written, that they can be seen in us and through us, that they can be manifested through us. And I tell you why this is possible. Because it is written in verse 4 about the exceeding great and precious promises which he has given unto us, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. From our own we can do nothing. We can only believe. And we can be open to the working of God. But then, if we, because of these great and precious promises which we received by grace, if we have been partakers, if you are partakers of his divine nature, then comes the inner building up. The new man experiences his building up. From verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to virtues given by God, knowledge given by God, not knowledge which puffs up, but knowledge which guides us into the truth. Verse 6, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, the general love. Do we all have the desire that this happens with us? That all this, all that, what is written here, that by His grace, that it can happen in all of us? This is the purpose of the divine message, which was given for our preparation unto the glorious day, which is necessary for our preparation. And then we can make our election and calling sure, to never again fall. That's how it is written here. In verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, just be honest now, do we all have the first love, the first devotion? Is this really fresh in all of us? Is it new, or are these things cooled down? It's written here, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Say amen. Ye shall never fall. Make your calling and election sure. Elected before the foundation of the world, regardless what comes or goes. Don't look to circumstances. Don't look to difficulties. Look to the Lord, who has chosen us before the foundation of the world, who has forgiven our sins, who has given us eternal life by His grace. I believe what is written here. The elect will reach the goal. They will not be ashamed. They will not fall. Also not by strange doctrines. But they will remain in the doctrine of Christ, to be settled in it. God took care for all things. Then it says, settled in truth, established in truth. Verse 15, just 15. Here the apostle poured out his heart. And he writes, 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Do you see the faithfulness of God? God used apostles and prophets to tell us everything. And be honest now, was there ever a time where we needed it like this, like today? Today we need every verse, every teaching. And we are grateful to God for His precious and holy word. And when this man of God writes here, I will take care, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, up to today, 2,000 years later, that you are able to have these things always in remembrance. I would like it best to kiss this Bible, the wonderful, ever-remaining Word of God, the teaching, the insight, everything God has given us by His grace. Holy men spoke by God, driven by God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the subject is the return of Jesus Christ. Let us read verse 16 once again. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of His majesty. An eyewitness, even an ear witness, as written, the next verse, the two next verses, as written there. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then comes the testimony of the man of God. And this voice which sounded from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And after what he could say, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. At that time, the apostles were pointing to the word of prophecy. Today, we can point to both, to the word of prophecy and to the apostolic word. We can point to the whole Holy Scripture, to that what God spoke through the apostles and prophets. All that we have in the connection, in the summary. May all the brothers who deviated, who turned their backs to the truth, who didn't believe the truth, and because they have now the errors, if there are people among them whom God can still correct, may He also use this exposition in all peoples, tongues, and nations. So much we understood. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 has nothing to do with a message to those who are alive. But I will not be ignorant about those who are asleep. And as sure as Jesus Christ rose, so sure He will bring those with Him who are asleep. And then the Lord comes. And those who are asleep in Christ will rise first. And then we who remain, we who we're ready, we who we have heard the message, we who we have received correction, we who were lined up with God and His Word, we who we proved our faith by obedience, then we who we are alive and remained, there will be a flock who will remain at the return of Jesus Christ. And then everything will be worth it. And we'll reach the goal. As sure as God has revealed His word to us, to Him, the faithful Lord, be the honor and the praise for everything, what He did already, and what He's doing right now. Amen. We stand up. Let us sing the chorus, Just As I Am. We are bowing our heads. We remain in prayer with the inner desire to be prepared unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But it's only the bride who hearkens to the voice of the bridegroom. Only he it is who directs his word to his own, and his own are hearing his voice, and his voice is his precious and holy word, which we believe with all our hearts. As we remain in prayer, let me ask whether some are here who have a special prayer petition which we can bring before the Lord. Please raise your hands. Do we have some here? Oh yes. Look at that. Truly, there are many, many petitions, many needs, perhaps sickness, perhaps other need in the house, in the family, in the marriage, at work, wherever it might be. We all know that the enemy has the whole world. He lets out his fury at the believers to make life difficult for us. The believers are really going through the most difficult trials. When I saw the many young people, the thought came to me, how nice it would be if all the young people would dedicate their lives to the Lord. Today, now, dedicating it unto Him. If you didn't make yet a direct experience of salvation, receive it now from the hand of the Lord. He calls. He calls. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls. May I ask that all the young people raise their hands now. You can take it down afterward. Whether now for the first time or later on, if you dedicate it already or rededicate it, how many young people do we have here? Just raise your hands. Look at that. All over. And the youth is going through the most difficult times. And therefore, you need our prayer. You need our understanding. You need the prayer of the church. And now, once again, to all those who raised their hands, please believe that Jesus Christ is the same. Please believe that He is present. We have the promise. I will be with you all the days until the end of the world. We have the promise where two or three are gathered in my name. We have the most precious promises which the Lord has given unto us. Today He wants to confirm His word in our midst, in all of us who believe now. And we sing "Only Believe," and then Brother Schmidt comes and will pray with us. Great God, we are coming to you in this hour by faith. By faith, Lord Jesus Christ, that your word is the truth. We thank you that you, O Lord, you have brought us the truth. You lived the truth. And you are teaching us in the truth. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are speaking to us and that you are still calling. Oh God, you are calling the individual. You are still calling and you are knocking on the door at the door. And you want to get in. So give us grace that we open unto you. Give grace that our children, which you have given us, Lord, as the young people, oh God, that they open their hearts so that you can enter in, so that you can have the first place in their lives. I thank you for it. That we, in full confidence, we bring them before you to the throne of grace. And all who somehow are hindered by whatever circumstances, but you overcame all the circumstances, and we thank you that we can come in assurance to you, Lord. Once again I say it, we bring our children to you, Lord, and grandchildren. Yes, you alone are everything in all. My God, we thank you that you have spoken to us in a way, in a wonderful way. And we know we will be with you. And we will meet you, the true and living God, the resurrected one, the returning Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be with us. Abide with us and bless us from the riches of your grace. All over, Lord, wherever your people are listening, bless them. We thank you for it. Amen. Let us sing together, Jesus is the Victor. Sing it with all your heart. And all the people said, Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated. We say it time and again. God is faithful. He has entrusted His word unto us. His promises are yes and amen. And that we may just live now, where God brings everything to its completion. This is also grace. And that we may believe now, as the scripture says, it's also grace. We're not listening to that, what politicians or religious personalities are saying or judging. The Lord is the judge, and that what He does from the natural man cannot be judged at all by a natural man. It has to be judged spiritually. God is the faithful God, the ever faithful God. Just be grateful, brothers and sisters, thankful in all peoples, tongues, and nations. God has His people. We are seeing here Africa represented. We see the other countries represented. That's how God promised it to Abraham. In thee shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Was it clear enough? 1 Thessalonians 4. Not so, brothers. It's really clear. Clear in the Word of God. And to this, we are very, very grateful to the Lord. God bless us all. May He be with us. May He give us all revelation by His Holy Spirit. Let us make use of the time which God gives us to hear His Word and to experience our preparation by His grace. May God bless especially all the ministering brethren. And I would like to be happy. I would be happy if all the ministering brethren would come to the front and we once again would pray together. All ministering brethren, all the elders, doesn't matter what kind of tasks you are having, be it local or be it under other churches, please come so that we pray together. We stand up for it. Please, beloved brothers from the neighboring countries, please come, beloved brothers. Just come. Come to the front that we once again pray. God has given to you also a responsibility. We believe that God has called you. Brother Kupfer, please come to the front. Please come. Where are our brothers from Prague? Are you not here? Of course, sure. Beloved brothers, come. Come simply. God is a faithful God. Brother Kupfer, please come here. Most surely there are more. Are there other brothers who should come? We again want to rededicate ourselves to God so that He can use us even more, so that His Word runs and is brought into all languages. We'll pray together so that the ends of the earth are being reached. Here's our brother Idoni. He already was in China, in other countries. He just returned from Cuba. Other brothers were in other countries, and others are in their countries and are serving the Lord. And we all have one desire, that all ministering brethren are firstly becoming one first, so that the church can become also one. It's just so important that first all the brothers are becoming one. In doctrine, in knowledge, in faith, that we really are one heart and one soul, and that then the ministries can be used so that the church can come into the unity of the faith. The time is here now. The time is here. May God give us grace to do it. Do you all want to pray with us? For all the ministering brethren, also those who didn't come to the front, Brother Kukaczka and all the other brothers, our brother from Bratislava, you should have come. God has his people all over. Let us pray now. Great God, we thank you for your revealed word. We thank you for the clarity, for the wonderful clarity in the word of truth. We thank you for the message and for the messenger. You have taken care of that we have teaching, that we have your word, the word of the apostles, the word of the prophets, your holy word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Bless all brothers. Bless in all tongues, in all peoples and nations, and call your people out to you, the Almighty God. Be the praise and honor, honor and glory, now and forever. Have thine own way with your people. Thy will be done. Thy word shall be confirmed. Save the lost. Heal the sick. And deliver the captives. And bless your people. Everything be laid unto you. And we thank you with all our hearts for everything you have given us. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. And all the people said, Amen.
Amen.
Let us sing. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord God, bless us and be with us. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Each one is shaking hands with each one. And we are greeting once again from this place all who are connected online. In particular, all brothers and sisters in Switzerland, Brother Graf, our Brother Wallström in Denmark, all our brothers and sisters in all of Africa, in all over the world, in South America and all over. The Lord be with us. Amen.